That's where we're going to be. We're going to be in Luke chapter 1 this morning. In the beginning, I know we're in the Christmas season here, and I want to share with you a little bit of what's happening in the pre-part of it. But this is really, it's all about Jesus anyway. And if it wasn't, then we don't need to be here. But this angel named Gabriel, which we don't get a lot of names from the angels, but Gabriel, he came to give a message that two babies were going to be born. One from a woman who could not conceive, late in her years and older. She was going to conceive, and we were going to have a baby, going to name it. It's going to be John the Baptist. And we have another one, Mary, who was a virgin. The Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and she would become pregnant, and she would have and give birth to the Son of God, Jesus. Now, with those two pieces there, a lot of people in the world just shut down. They completely shut down. They shut down because they can't believe it. That's a question you got to figure out yourself. Can God do anything? Angel says this in Luke 1:37, as he's talking. He says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Folks, I want to tell you today, there's nothing impossible for God. You make it, you put God in a box. We put God in a box, and that's the worst place we can put him. This is God's world. You hear me say it all the time. This is God's world. We are his creation. We need to quit thinking we're in charge. He's in charge. You wouldn't have as many problems if you let God be in charge of your life. But because people are all messed up, because people are messed up, we see a prophetic piece here. This would be from John the Baptist's father, who John the Baptist is going to, he's born, he's going to be born with the Holy Spirit. We don't see that. This is only a God thing. But Zechariah is going to have a prophetic piece here. You see, he had a moment where he didn't believe and he couldn't speak until some pretty much getting ready to be circumcised. When they were getting ready to make the name, it wasn't when the baby was born. It was when he would come to name the baby. But in the prophetic piece, he says this in Luke 1, verse 76. In child, he's talking about his child. You will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Father, as we open up your word, I pray that your spirit will speak to us in a way that only you can speak. I pray, Father, you give us ears to hear it and eyes to see it and a heart that will accept it. May you move upon these people today, upon us as a family here today, upon this church, that we might be different than when we first came in today. And may your will be done upon us, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. So we see this piece here that John is this baby John, we're going to call him John the Baptist. Zechariah says, you will be called a prophet to the Most High. You're going to be the forerunner. You're going to come out here and prepare and set this kind of up. There's this small window where John the Baptist is doing some ministry. He's going to be doing that, and he has a great place. He's coming out before Christ is going to start in his ministry. And we see here, he says, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. Because the world is in a mess. Every one of us have got some stuff. Every one of us has had some sin in our life. We are not perfect people. We are not as good as we think that we are. We really aren't. You don't give as much as you think you give, because what you give, it needs to come from the heart. You don't do as much as you think you do, because when you do it, you have to do it from the heart and from the spirit. Not just your hands and your feet. He's going to prepare the way. He's setting the path. He's opening up. He's opening up these waters. He's opening up this door, because who's following him is going to be greater than him. Comes a moment, he even says, I have, Jesus is going to have to, he's going to increase and I have to decrease. So I'm going to, he's going to set forth and open it up. And he's going to have to get out of the way. That's what we need to do. Move, do what God's called us to do, and step out of the way and let God do what he needs to do. Some of the biggest obstacles that we have in ministry and in our lives is that we won't step and move over and let God do something. But John is this forerunner. But in this prophetic piece that he has, he's going to, Zechariah is making an adjustment in this piece. He adds to it because this is why John the Baptist, why his son is going to be a prophet of the Most High God. And it says, because, why? Why is he going to do and baptize people for the forgiveness of sin and the knowing and give people knowledge that there is going to be a way and that Jesus is the way. He says, because of our God's merciful compassion. Because God's mercy. God has compassion on people. You read Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says that God said he grieved that he made man. There was a moment that he grieved that he made man, but he found Noah. And through all that time, they're doing sacrifices. And God's going to send this one ultimate peace, this one and done sacrifice peace, and it's going to be his son. I wonder, we would all have limits on what we would give for someone else. We all have a limit of what we would give to someone else. But God's compassion is much bigger than what we can even understand and fathom. You see, God loves the people you don't love. He likes the people that don't look like you. He likes people that don't speak like you. He loves the uneducated just as much as he loves the educated. But we put boundaries around and we want to point fingers at people that are educated. Church people that are educated want to point fingers at people that are uneducated. People that have money point fingers at people that don't, and people that don't point fingers at people that do. You see, all we do is keep pointing because we don't like the finger pointed at us, so we try to point people. And we try to find flocks that run together so that we can just have our own little group. So when we talk, we're all in unison and we all agree. So we feel good about ourselves. We kind of pump ourselves up and we feel like we got stability. I'm so glad God's not like that. That God's compassion is for everyone. Even for the people that are in jail and prison. The gospel is not refrained to those just that are doing decent in the world. Or not just refrained and enclosed into the United States. But it goes into the jail cells. Because what makes us all one is that we all sin. The smartest man to the person who don't know as much. To the richest, to the lowest. But God's compassion. As he sees man, he sees man is all messed up with sin. He's going to sin. He's sending his son. But also with compassion, there is a love that God has for man. I would say salvation is for man's, it's for man's sin. Redemption of what's lost can come home. God has compassion for man. But also, God has love for man. You may not love yourself, but God loves you. And you can't do anything to make God love you less. Satan will tell you, dark side will tell you that nobody loves you. But God will tell you, He loves you. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? Scripture tells us here in John 3:16, many of you know it, but He says this, "For God loved the world in this way that He gave His only Son." Think about that for a moment. "That everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." There's a promise there. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through it, although the world won't condemn Him. Anyone who believes in Him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned." Jesus didn't have to come for people to be condemned. We were already condemned because of our sin. He says, "Because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it so that his deeds may not be exposed." 1 John 4:9 says, "God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him, so that we might be saved. Because of God's love and his compassion, Jesus at this moment is coming. He is coming. It is light getting ready to shine in darkness, because the world was very dark and very bleak at that time. But let me tell you today that it's pretty dark today, is it not? But we are called to be the light. Jesus says in Matthew that we are called to be the light. To be the light of what? To be the light of the world. And as we walk in our life, we should be letting that light resonate and shine out of our life. But we're seeing not just our country, but our communities falling apart. Back there in Luke, he continues, he says, because of God's merciful compassion, the dawn from on high will visit us to shine on those who live in darkness. That's why he came. To shine the light on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the ways of peace. To shine on those who live in darkness. Listen, today there are a lot of people living in darkness. But this whole thing that's happened in the last couple of years of God is to be where we're trying to seclude ourselves. We're trying to be just very isolated. Be careful that you don't isolate yourself. You can't let your light shine when you're isolating yourself. And it's mentally not good for you. We have more mental problems right now than I believe we've ever had. The suicide rate is high. It's higher. I know a fact because I am a veteran. That's our 21 veterans that commit suicide every day. Every day. That's not counting the rest of the world. Let me tell you, the world is a dark world. Just recently, the community, the sheriff and them, had a big thing up here at the high school. Why? Because the drug epidemic this continues to rise. Sin will continue to rise. Darkness will continue to spread unless the light intervenes. And that is the gospel. The world is going to try to do so many different things and fix it this way, fix it that way, fix it this way. But Jesus is the only way. This is why he came. He did not come here for the enjoyment. He came here, the ultimate, to lay his life down for anyone and everyone. But those who accept it and believe it, Scripture tells us that individual has eternal life with God. Jesus will shine on the shadows of death. You see, I believe there's always hope until you breathe your last breath. We can see that with the thief on the cross. We don't know how long, but it wasn't very long, and he ended up dying after they broke his legs. But he said, remember me. And Jesus said, and responded, that they would be together. Jesus needs to shine, and Jesus is shining, but we got to let that light shine even more, because Jesus is man's only hope. He's man's only hope. Jesus is America's only hope. And he's your only hope. Let me tell you, I said this, I think it last week. Quit trying to know about God, but get to know him. Know him. Knowing about God is a good thing, but know him. There's a difference. Lost people, everybody can read God's word, they don't understand it, but they'll try to figure it out, and they'll know certain things about God, but they don't know him. Knowing God is not good enough. You have to have Christ. Let me tell you something. You may think you're faking everybody else out. And when you think you're faking everybody else out, the one you faked out the most is yourself. Well, you think you might be, do you think you're saved? Look at me. You think you're saved and you're playing a game in life? Well, you just fooled yourself. You believed your own lie. Salvation is nothing to play with. Your life is nothing to play with. You're risking your eternal soul in damnation, separated from God, who is holy and the creator of this world. This is his world. You got to do it his way. And it is a good way. It is filled with mercy and love and compassion, more than you can come out of your own self. But it is a joyful thing that God has given us Christ. But also we see Jesus in Luke chapter 4, he goes into the synagogue, he pulls out a scroll from Isaiah and he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Spirit of the Lord is on Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He come here to do something. You see, we don't see a lot. We don't see a lot of Jesus' life when he was 14, 15. We don't see a lot. When he started his ministry, we see a lot. He's living life in perfection. And when he opens up and lets that light just shine, it's so bright that the world doesn't want it. But there are people who do want it. God opens their hearts to receive it. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. This is God's purpose that Jesus is coming. Because without Jesus, we are lost. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? That without Jesus, we are lost. Let me tell you right now, America, we don't even know what we're spinning. Everything politically is spinning. Everything in our world is spinning. These shelves are empty. This is going on. We're not sure what's going on. And everybody's all over the place. Spoke with a few people this week. Some people that work a lot more with youth people. Some of the youth people are even saying, kids in high school are even saying, what do you think about what's going on? I don't want to say anything. I worry all the time, but I don't want to worry my parents because they're already worried. We're all stressed out. Another youth says, every day I wake up and I'm nervous. I don't know what is going to happen today. Living in fear and worry. And meanwhile, as churches, as we wake up, we just want to go to church. We want to have these. Listen, a church needs to make a difference in the community. If it doesn't, and this needs to shut it down. Because Jesus came, and when he opened that ministry moment, he was serving. He was serving. Here it was. He was. The Spirit of the Lord was on him, and he was anointed. And here he is. When you know that God, you are saved. You know you got what you need with Christ. You got the Holy Spirit in you, and he's pushing you toward him. You go forward. It says to preach good news to the poor. I'm going to preach good news to the poor. That's what he said. I'm going to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim. It means to speak it out. Release of the captives. You know how many people are caught up into sin? Slave in the bondage of sin? Isn't that what we should be preaching and teaching? But I will remind you, you can preach it and you can teach it, but not everybody wants it. Not everybody wants to be free. Not everybody wants to be free. I want my sin, but I want a little bit of Jesus too. Well, Jesus wants you and wants no part, and wants that sin gone. So there's going to be a battle. You're going to battle Jesus your whole life. But I will tell you this, and I promise you this, because not really what I promise, but what God's... When you get to heaven, you're going to be forced to let it go. There's no junk in heaven. There's no junk in heaven. So he has sent me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the release of the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind. He's going to do healings, and we see that. And to set free the oppressed, those who are being pushed down, those who are being crushed down by life and sin in those things, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is a gift that God has given to mankind. It is Jesus Christ in the flesh, a sacrifice. What he has really sent, what we can really understand in one word is hope. Now man has hope. But the hope only comes down the lane of God and Jesus. If you want to get to God, you have to go through Jesus. God sent his son. He died on a cross. Jesus in John chapter 17, if this cup could pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. Do you think God's going to have another way when he allowed his son to die on the cross? No. It is through Christ. Salvation comes through Christ and Christ alone. If I was to challenge you for anything, today it would be, you need to make sure you know that your salvation is 100%. But you need to know that because you know God. And if you know God because you know who Jesus Christ is. And if you have Jesus Christ, you have access to God. You also have the Holy Spirit. So you need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Jesus came in the world to save people. And when I think of that and I read that, yeah, I could put my name in there as well. Jesus came to save Jimmy. Jesus came to save you. Now that I've understood that and I've given my heart to him and I've come to this place and he opened the door for me to receive him and we met and I repented and turned my life over to him, then my life belongs to him. And then your life ends up being different than you ever thought it was going to be. But not in the bad sense, in the evil sense, in the sinful sense of those who live in the world. Last night I was watching the documentary. I watch them all the time. Heroin addict on Kensington Street on Avenue. Asking a young lady who was 29 years old, looked like she was 40. What did you want to be when you grew up? I wanted to be a veterinarian. You see, sin will take you away from what... Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. But Jesus says, I come to give life more abundantly. You know the verse. But here's what Satan will do. If you don't turn your life if you don't give your life to Christ the way that God's called us to through his Holy Spirit, Satan already has you. So he will steal, the Bible says he will steal, kill, and destroy. He will steal your dreams. I wanted to be a veterinarian. Stole it. Stole any kind of dreams. Stole all the dreams. Living in Kensington Avenue, if you ever get a chance, look it up. It's one of the worst streets in America. Everybody's hunched over like this. They're like zombies. It's all drugs. He depletes this, it destroys this. But we need to come to that realization that we need Christ just as like everyone else does. That when you're saved by the same blood that everyone else is saved by. There is nothing that is impossible with God. Salvation cannot happen without God. Salvation cannot happen without God in love and compassion and willing to give that sacrifice through Jesus Christ. Luke 18, 26, 27 says, those who had heard this asked, and they're having this big discussion, he says, who can be saved? And he replied, what is impossible with man is possible with God. So what is impossible with man is possible with God. Y'all need to get busy about praying for your lost loved ones. But you can't pray for your lost loved ones until your life is getting right with God as well. Let's just take a moment. If God chose to say, Gabriel, Michael, it's time. Jesus, it's time. Go get them. You know, that can happen any moment. And nobody that says anything on the radio don't listen to that. It's because Scripture says no man knows the day or the hour. People need to quit trying to figure that out. All that does is lead people away from the Lord. And listen, most of those end up being in cultish, and most of those end up pulling away from everything else in the Word of God, but that, and they focus just on that Scripture. But let's suppose that God says, it's time. Think about all the stuff you think is so important right now. If Christ was to return, and he begins to pull us all up, all those who are saved. There's not one thing I believe that you would want to take with you except those you love. But you can't bring them with you because you don't have that power. That's between them and God and Jesus themselves. So we need to get back to the focus of letting the light shine out of our lives that we might share that good news of Jesus Christ. Because we've gotten away from sharing the gospel of Jesus with those outside, even of our own church. I believe, and this might be a bad thing, but I believe if Jesus came, everybody in here wouldn't go. I'm sorry to say that, but I just don't believe everybody here would go. It's not. I'm only making a judgment call because of this many people. Because the biggest lies we believe is that I am saved, I am good with God, and we believe that lie, and that is the biggest lie that we'll ever believe. And that lie cost us everything. A man, a woman should know, and shouldn't have to step back into 19 whatever it was, and say, yeah, I was saved there, but I haven't been. And then there's nothing between A and B. And then we go to the four soils. I know I'm going. And then we start thinking, oh, maybe it was more on emotion. This message really has been shifted over to make sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when your time comes, that you're going to be okay. You're going to be right with God. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but you're going to be right. You know that you know. You know that you know that you know that Jesus is my Savior. I'm running into people all the time right now. So many people, this is, I believe in God, but do not have a relationship and never given that moment to allow Jesus to come into their life and to turn everything over. They know about God. They know about Jesus, but they don't know them. And God made it all possible by sending Gabriel to speak and tell Mary that she's blessed, that the Savior of the world is coming. And folks, he did come. And born of a virgin. What? No way, no way. Yeah? Why? Because there's nothing impossible with God. God, Scripture says that God has named all the stars. You know right now that you can go someplace and online, you can go online and you can say, you know what? I'm going to get my girlfriend, my wife, we're going to name a star. And I'm going to name you the star, and you get a picture of the galaxy, whatever it is. And then this one, oh, that one's yours, hon. That star is, you got your name on it. It's a moneymaker. They've already got names. Just let me tell you, they've already got a name. God's already given them a name. Everything belongs to God. And so do you. And you choose to rebel against God. The consequences, refusing God, is separation from God. And God says, I've given you an opportunity. And the opportunity is this. Acknowledge my son Jesus, that he came to earth, died, a virgin birth, that he is my son, and you're a sinner. He died upon that cross and was resurrected in 3 days. Buried in the likeness of his death, and were raised in the likeness of his resurrection. That we one day too, whether we're called up in the air by the Lord, or we're resting, and when he comes, we gather up that way. We will have a resurrection. But if you don't know Jesus Christ, your resurrection will only be at the great white, the great white throne, the great white judgment. You don't want that. So the question, the challenge today for you is this. Is the light proceeding and moving out of your life and doing what God's called you to do? And you know that you're saved and those are good things. You need to know that you have a personal relationship with Christ. That salvation is real to you. That is real. And you know it and you believe it. And it's confirmed, not by what your own thoughts are, but confirmed by the Holy Spirit. But if you don't know and you're not sure, I will tell you this. This is the day of salvation. Salvation comes to man only through one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus came. This is why we have the Christmas story. We have to revisit salvation from time to time because we can get our eyes on another focus. Everything should come back to Jesus Christ. You see, let me tell you what I see today. I knew it was going to be a pretty tough mess, pretty tough time up here. Because when you're speaking salvation, you're speaking about the most important thing in the world, in the universe. The most important thing known to man is the key to eternal life, Jesus Christ. It is the key. 3 or 4 people try to fall asleep on me. I get it. Nibbling at them phones. I get it. But he was already working even when we were singing. You see, I'm real deal. I'm going to tell you straight out what I feel. And sometimes I don't because I don't want to get in trouble. And sometimes I don't because I have to make sure I'm not in the flesh. I need to be in the spirit. But what I'm telling you is, Satan is working. But I also want to tell you, Holy Spirit's working. Don't let Satan steal what God has for you today. And let me just remind you, if your life isn't right with Christ, then you are a believer. God wants you to repent. The only way you're going to get it right is repent. Confess your sins. And you may not even know them all. Maybe it's just a big hot mess. Let me just say, you throw yourself at the Lord's feet. The Lord knows how to work it. Don't try to figure it out. Just go to him. He knows how to figure it out. He knows how to work it out. But I'll tell you this. When you give it to the Lord on your knees, he'll give you the strength to step up and stand up. And when you walk different. But only he can do that. Fathers, we take this moment of reflection and response. May your will be done. Your Holy Spirit stronger than those of the darkness. Strengthen, Lord, those who are weak. Give them strength. Give them ears to hear what you'd have for them. That their lives may be pulled toward you. and glorify you. In Christ's name, amen.